Welcome to the Vibrant Living Network. Have you ever wondered what is possible beyond possible? What is the thing you've been wondering and inquiring about? Are you just feeling stuck and don't know why? Are you thinking or are you seeing? Seeing allows us to expand and have this other experience. We want to invite you for that wake-up call. We want to invite your spirit, your soul, so to be more alive, more connected. Glenn Brooks has been a life coach for over 33 years, author of Divorced to Patterns, Not Each Other, an explorer of what is possible. He has worked with people all around the world. Join us for a wake-up conversation, a dialogue with you. We will have some of the most interesting contributors. We will be talking to some of the most interesting people and have some of the most resourceful teachers, wisdom-filled people from around the world join us. Share your voice, ask the questions, become free of the known into a new world of possibility. We are going to talk about all the things you wonder about: how to live, how to heal, how to connect, how to love, how to be seen. Your life is precious. Enjoy it.
Welcome, welcome. I'm Glenn Brooks. I'm really happy you're with us today. And I want to ask you, the last time, or maybe in this moment, when you saw something or you had this experience of seeing, when you, in other words, you kind of dropped back for a moment and this, you saw something clearer and it sort of moved you. You were touched by it. Your focus went from a closed focus to an open awareness. And you felt a breath of life. You felt something different than this kind of routine, right? Where a lot of what we do in the day is looking on the computer screen, looking at some conclusion. But imagine if, in fact, you could go from this looking to this open seeing that has a call of heartfulness, breath, and imagine if that blossomed in your life on a regular basis, and you could, as my friend says, you could grow, you could, what's he called it, aging backwards. You could begin to gain the sight and the soft eyes and the wonder that at some point you experience, maybe right now. And I want to say that the highest compliment I've ever had was by a medical doctor in Marin. And we did like five dialogues. And she said to me on the seventh dialogue, she said, Glenn, you know, I've had parents. I went to Brown University, got a medical degree, got a lot of trainings. And she goes, you're the only person that's seen me. You see me. So I think you're in for a real feast on today's show. I'm honored. And first, I want to welcome and acknowledge my beloved, appreciated Lisa LaRose, producer, kindred spirit, friend. She's my sister, Inquire, and I want to say she's one heck of a resource on anything to do with healing and well-being. Lisa, welcome.
Oh, thank you, Glenn. What a nice introduction.
Hillary Lake is a new family member, but she's been there forever. I feel like sometimes when I meet people, they've just always been there, and then they'll listen. They've been on my tree, and then they show up. So, welcome, Hillary. And I want to say about you is you're someone that just is moved by the wonder of spirituality, the body, bringing these attributes of the body and movement and awareness into a person's being and into their life. Mm-hmm. And I love that about you. I appreciate your inquiry. You're very inquired.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, Dr. Mark Crispin, I heard about Mark, I think about 38 years ago. And 38 years ago, he was exploring not just the concerns around the eye, the vision difficulties, but I knew he was someone who also was very interested in the whole system, how the eyes represented the whole body and this experience of whole body seeing, and how the eyes also reveal and our ability to see our spiritual dilemmas. Like, what happens when we look through these eyes? 16 days ago, I went through an experience where I was taking a shower, and here I am. Oh, by the way, I want to acknowledge that Mark just wrote one of the most, I think it's the most comprehensive book in the world, on nutrition and the eyes. It's 600 pages. It was so heavy, it was like two Manhattan phone books. I was taking a shower, and I started to notice that my left eye was very different. It was blurry. And for some reason, I could feel what sat behind that was this intense fear. Like, what's going to happen? So I reminded myself to exhale. and call Mark. And so we've had some wonderful conversations, and we're going to do the next year a program called Vibrant Seeing, which there's going to be experiential exercises. We're going to all meet each other. So in some sense, we're going to be a seeing, evolving seeing tribe. Julie's going to be part of it. Lisa's going to be part of it. Well, I want to say I'm honored. I love what you do, Mark. I love the questions that you ask. I love the fact, I love this idea that you explore things beyond your conventional. You're obviously a new breed of eye doctor. You're also a person I experienced to be very intuitive and inquiring yourself. I know you don't carry a cell phone. Congratulations. In this world, that's a hard thing not to do. I just want to Ruchi welcome you and tell you how inspired I am if you do this next year on Vibrant Seeing and implement this different paradigm of seeing, softening, allowing our whole being on the spiritual side of things. And then the other level is to feed the eyes nutritionally. You told me as an example, you've helped people with non-surgical solutions to cataracts, that you allow people to go beyond just the level of the problem, as Einstein said it, into this other level of discovery and connection and perhaps a new way of seeing. So I want to deeply welcome you, Mark. I'm really happy you're here today.
Thanks for the opportunity. Well, you said a few things that definitely trigger my philosophy in approaching vision, which is one, as you were talking about, I guess, your colleague there, and her level of inquiry. And that, I feel, is the most important thing, inquiry and curiosity into what is out there and what is behind what is out there. It's as in 39 years of practice, realized that the more I know, the more I don't know. So it's a constant state of inquiry that I always put myself in. And second is the perspective that the eyes are truly the windows to the soul. So when you take that metaphor, and in Chinese medicine, we look at the eyes of holding the shen, the spirit of the person. So when I'm looking at somebody's visual system on a physical level, I know it's not just physical. It's physical, emotional, psycho-spiritual. So you want to use vision as a tool to empower the person to create their soul's journey. So this is sort of like the, you know, when I'll go on different shows, I'll go like very medical and I'll say, okay, let's just talk about, you know, this amount of acid for that and this. But
yes.
So we do not use our eyes to see. We do not see with our eyes. The eyes are tools for the mind. In multiple personality disorders, all the different personalities have different prescriptions. So if we take that premise that the eyes are tools for the mind, now we have a different place of inquiry into using our visual system as a tool to become more of who we are.
Mark, that was one of the most beautiful, that was the most beautiful description I've ever heard of our eyes and our body and our spirit.
I just wanted to set that as a premise to the kind of work that I'm doing and that we can hopefully share with your audience. And as you ask me questions, I'll be happy to answer them from a state of inquiry.
Beautiful. Okay, so I wanna ask Lisa to ask your question. But I wanted to say, was it something you sparked something?
Let me know what you want to talk about, and I can talk about it.
Okay, I like that. I like your great bar mitzvah guest, by the way. I like that. You're receptive, open. I see you as a partner in our next year around Vibrant Seeing, and I'm so honored.
I want to say welcome, and I want to admit that I feel like a kid in a candy store because I see all of these things that I want to inquire about, and I'm just like, it's this delight that's coming up inside of me. And I'm not quite sure which question to ask first, but, you know, I'm very curious as to, you know, I read your bio and I delved into all of the different things within your background. But, you know, when you were younger and sort of starting on this path, what were the things that moved you along your journey or inspired you? I would love to, and I know Glenn and Hillary would love to know a little bit more about your journey.
We're shaking our heads.
So here I was growing up. I became nearsighted at 8 years old. And what happened when I was eight? Okay, I'm just throwing that level out there because I'm going to talk about it. And then, as most people, when they get their first pair of glasses, they go back to the eye doctor, and then a year or two later, they need stronger glasses, and then stronger glasses, and stronger glasses.
Yeah.
So from 8 years on and over, I got stronger and stronger nearsighted glasses. I went to a specialized high school in New York City called Stuyvesant High School, which is a math and science high school, and if you looked around, 90% of us were wearing glasses. Less than 10% delinquents need glasses. And contact lenses weren't invented yet, okay? So I'm in a environment of people who are studying and doing coursework all the time. And there's a reason why 80 to 90% of accountants are nearsighted, but less professional farmers are farsighted, because they look on the horizon all day. So function affects structure. So back to my story. So here I was, I became nearsighted, I went through this journey. And then I believe that there are different events in our life that we can go back to that were changing our direction of choices or our paths. So I was playing on the basketball team in college, and I was getting my ankle taped. And I said to the trainer, I said, "What are you doing next year?" And he said, "I'm going to go to optometry school. You make enough money. You don't make a lot of money, but nobody dies on you." And I said, "Ooh, nobody dies on you. I like this." And that's a whole other story, because I had issues with death. I actually ended up becoming a hospice trainer and volunteer. You know, I did the hospice training because I wanted to deal with my issues around death.
Right.
And he said, "But you got to be good in math and science." I said, "Great, I can do that." So I went to optometry school, and I had no idea that I was going to delve into the metaphorical and spiritual aspects of vision. I went through that. I thought I was just going to sell glasses and contact lenses. And then I started studying Eastern philosophy, meditating, et cetera, et cetera, nutrition. And I said, "Wow, if I'm going to do this in my own life, how can I practice healthcare in a different way? I can't give vision care like the traditional way, because I want to understand why their eyes went bad. I don't want to treat symptoms. I want to treat the person behind the eyes, not the eyes." Mm-hmm. And I just was on my journey. And then 15 years into practice, I was at a friend's house. And she had this book in the middle of her living room. And it was the first book that was printed in the United States on Chinese medicine, called The Web That Has No Weaver.
Mm-hmm.
And another hit. And I could visualize that trainer talking to me and the book talking to me. And I said, the book looked at me, I looked at the book. And I said, "I can't believe I got to go to acupuncture school now." Just paying off my loans. But acupuncture wasn't licensed in New York State yet. But then I asked a friend, and he said, "Next year it's going to be licensed." I said, "Well, I got the hit. I got to follow the journey." So I went to acupuncture school for 3 to 4 years. And what that gave me was a medical model of Chinese medicine that did the physical, the emotional, and the spiritual being in healthcare. And now I had a medical model to put my vision care on. So my model of vision care is an integrative model of vision, integrating Chinese medicine as my backdrop, Western medicine and my vision care, And I've always loved studying nutrition and herbs and things like that. So that's a little bit of my journey. You know, I can go on for a long time, but we have other things we want to talk about. But that's how I have been practicing now for 39 years. And when I treat people, treating them on all different levels.
Wow. Thank you for sharing. That's really beautiful. I'm curious, are you still nearsighted?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, now I am, yes. I am with glasses 98% of my waking life. I couldn't see the biggie on the chart. Now I can pass a driver's test without glasses. I'm 63. I can read without glasses. The only time I use a little bit of glasses is for driving at night. But I was dependent on glasses full-time from the age of 8 years old till the age of about 28 years old. And now I'm pretty much glasses-free 99% of my waking life. So, yes, my nearsighted improved over 80%.
Oh, that's fabulous.
Yeah. Yeah, good question. I forgot about
So I'm curious, Mark, can you share with us what it is that you did to be able to see in the way that you do now, to rectify your vision in this way? And probably lots of things, but I'm wondering if you can share some specifics with us.
Yeah, I'll share one thing specifically, because we're talking now about my eyesight improving. So when I got out of, again, remember I talked about those little moments in life that move you on your life's journey? So, again, I was looking into yoga, and I was reading about this eye doctor. His name was Dr. Alan Shankman, and he was in Connecticut, and he was doing vision therapy, and he had a yoga-based approach to vision therapy. And then I'm at this yoga conference in New York City, and then there was a man from Wisconsin talking on vision and yoga. His name was Lad Korish. We're going back 35 years or more, 36 years. And I spoke to Lad at that meeting, because he was giving a thing on vision and yoga, and I said, he goes, oh yeah, there's another eye doctor here, Al Shankman. He's upstairs staying at the hotel. Well, here I was, just like 24 years old. It's night, and I call up his room, Dr. Shankman's, and he's in his room with his wife, and I said, hi, Dr. Shankman, I've read all your work, and I'd love to meet you. I hear you're at this conference. When can we meet? And he said, well, you know, tomorrow is fine. I said, oh, I'm only here today. So he looked at his wife, and he said, all right, you can come up. So I went up to his hotel room. He's in bed with his wife. I never met him. And I sat on the chair, and we talked, and he said, if you really want to study vision from a yoga-based perspective, you have to become a patient. Mm-hmm. I became a patient of his for 2 years,
mm-hmm.
and then I added my own work that I was doing with vision therapy, and that's how I improved my eyesight.
Mm-hmm.
So my approach, yoga-based...
Oh, yeah, we need to take a brief pause. We're talking to Dr. Mark Rose from Hilly Lake, Vibrant Living team member, contributor, Lisa LaRose, producer, genius, deepening family member, and you. Vibrant seeing, beyond just looking and discovering this other level of seeing, being, spirituality, the wonder that's in your body. And also, if you go to Vibrant Living Network, we're going to have a whole write-up.
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Hi, this is recording artist and composer Yuval Ron, inviting you to a voyage through the chakras, a new double album of guided meditations to transform your life, a sublime musical medicine for nourishing inner peace and reaching to your higher virtues. Get it now at metamindfulnessmusic.com, M-E-T-T-A, mindfulnessmusic.com.
In the wake of a disaster, what one thing can you send that will help people the most? A blanket, a tent, a sandbag, a doctor. Actually, if you send a monetary donation, you send all these things. Even a small donation can make a big impact and can quickly become exactly what people affected by disaster need most.
In the wake of a hurricane, your monetary donation can make a huge difference to those in need. To donate, visit supporthurricanerelief.org. That's supporthurricanerelief.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hello, here. Oh, thank you for passing in my question. Okay, here I am, alive and breathing. You're alive and breathing. You're listening to the Vibrant Living Network. I'm Glenn Brooks. I'm so happy you're here today. The quote of the day is from myself. It's, there's no real love in unilateral decisions. There's no real love. So what's the difference between the me brain and the we brain and the we body? So as Mark said, Dr. Mark Grossman, who just sent me his brilliant new book on 600 pages on nutrition in the eyes. I love the deep inquiry. I love the deep. So I was concerned. I'm going to go see Mark, Hilly Lake, Lisa LaRose. I was going to go see Mark, but I had this fear of, like, I don't want to get my eyes dilated. So I was like, I must have tell Mark my first anxiety. And he goes, we don't do eye dilation. We have equipment that you don't have to dilate the eyes. And I was like, I took an XL, because part of what I would do when I went to the eye doctor locally was, it would take him forever to tell me, like I didn't have glaucoma or something. It seemed like it was years before he said, everything looks okay. So my experience with doctors and doctoring in that world, the mechanistic world, it always seemed like it was not just symptomatic-based, but for the most part, it was this whole idea that you're normal. And what I loved about where you're coming from, Mark, is I like the inquiry of, like, of opening to something that's beyond normal. I did a whole series on that with Dr. Richard Moss. Like, what happens when you go back to normal? What happens if you go from where you are to this other level of aliveness and relationalness and wonder and then seeing and gazing? I mean, this is stuff that, you know, it's not easy to have this conversation. But that's why I feel a year, Mark, of vibrant seeing together. And you go to, if you go to Vibrant Living Network, we're going to have all posting about this. It'll be on Mark's website. So I guess, God, Mark, I just love, and I love the question. I love what Lisa asked you. I'd love to hear your story. Do you have something bubbling, Hillary?
So he shared a bit about his own, your own journey, Mark, and your own experience of improving your vision. And I'm wondering if there are ways that you can share, maybe this is jumping a little bit forward, but things you can share to people who are wondering about improving their vision as well, and without having an ability to see them, diagnose them, maybe there are just exercises that you could offer, or practices, different things people can eat, that kind of thing that you can share with our audience.
Yeah, well, first is there's no one size fits all, but there are definitely things that everybody can do. You know, my new book, Natural Eye Care, actually, that Glenn was talking about, it's actually 800 pages because there's so much information that's needed. And my website,
I'm going to credit you on the next two shows to fully correct that error.
My website, naturaleyecare.com, has a lot of free videos of eye exercises and lifestyle kind of things, and I'm also teaching
some very, very inexpensive, like $10 or less online courses on how to keep your eyes healthy. So I guess, just some general things. Oh, also my Magic Eye books, those 3D books that you relax your eyes and an image pops out, those are always good for your eyes too. But just some basic things to keep your eyes healthy. And this is a pet peeve of mine, is that you go to the dentist, and the dentist will talk to you about flossing and brushing your teeth and dental hygiene. But our number one sensory modality, the visual system, we don't talk about visual hygiene. But we put our eyes under tremendous stress, like working on the computers all day long. So remember, if you're working on a computer, take breaks. Take breaks every 20 minutes. Look up. In terms of food, the green leafy vegetables are best for your eyes. And what's the number one food for your eyes? No, it's not carrots. It's kale. Kale is probably
That's your new book title.
Yeah. Kale is probably the healthiest food for your eyes. Blueberries, the dark grapes, the blueberries, again, very good for your eyes. So lots and lots. I mean, that's why the book is 800 pages or our website. People can get all this information, too, on mastersby.com. We'll give you self-help kind of things you can do on a juicing recipes for different eye diseases, some general eye exercises where you can look at the free videos, what foods are good for you. I mean, my goal is that, and I know that you and Glenn believe this, or you wouldn't be in the professions you are, that knowledge is power. And the more that we can educate people and they can be self-advocates for their own health care, the more they can keep their eyes healthy. So that's basically, and these are places people can go for an extensive things they can use, they could do to keep their eyes healthy.
That's wonderful.
I was really moved. And Lisa's beautiful voice. I was really moved by our conversation where I shared with you the name Vibrant Seeing, and I realized it had such deep meaning. And I was so happy when you concurred with Vibrant Seeing as being our year-long title and our year-long experience, our group. What does Vibrant Seeing mean to you, and what are you excited about our year-long group? I want to get your inside comments on why you connected so deeply with Vibrant Seeing, being the name of the program, our course, and then just what moved you about the relationship between vibrancy and seeing.
Okay. Now, yeah, and I'm very, very, very picky on names of things. So when you said Vibrant Seeing, it totally resonated with me. And why did it resonate? Because vibrancy, it's about an energy. And I believe that vision is an energy. And light doesn't just come into the eyes. They've proven it, that light also gets emitted from the eyes. You are your own pilot light, and you can bring light from inside yourself through your eyes. So you can, and in Chinese medicine, all the meridians go to the eyes. All the meridians go through the heart. So when you can create vibrancy, energetic energy, like in, Tony Robbins, like you see him, energy is coming out of his eyes. Whoa. So when you can develop that, what we call in Chinese medicine, that Shen, that spirit, and you can increase the vibrancy of your visual system, you will not only improve the vibrancy of your eyes, but your life and your energy altogether, because it's a place where all the meridians go. So the vibrant seeing and the fact that we're looking at it not just on the physical plane, yes, the eyes need to be nourished, but we also have to say, how do we use and abuse our eyes? How do we take care of them? How do we exercise them? The eyes are just part of the whole body. How can we, how does our inner vision affect our outer vision? How do we think about ourselves and how we relate to people? How do we relate to people through the right eye, the left eye? Chinese medicine, the right eye is the father male eye. The left eye is the feminine female eye. I have done so much work with people and how they feel looking through their different eyes and what parts of them. I mean, I can go on for hours about that. Mm-hmm. So when we can increase the vibrancy and using our primary sense modality, vision, which takes up more room in the brain than all the other sense modalities combined, we can increase our vibrancy for not only our vision, but for our life in general. That's what excited me. Sorry to sound excited, but that's what excited me about vibrant seeing. Yeah.
Dr. Grossman, it really touches me very deeply, and I know Glenn and probably Hillary feel the same way, that, you know, to think about the eyes and the heart being so connected. And I'm curious, you know, you also mentioned that when you treat the person, you look behind the eyes. So in thinking back over your years of practice, who are some of the people or the cases that you, when you looked behind their eyes, that you were surprised or amazed or whatever journey there would be that really touched and moved you?
Well, let me give a good one. This is there's so many of them, but and you know, one day, you know, I'm sure she's actually sometimes she's in her mid 70s and she's sailing around the country of the world. But this woman came to see me like 30, 40 years ago. She was a nurse. She had a turned eye, and her glasses were about as thick as you can get. Okay. She couldn't see, like, anything, like, within, like, a foot from her without her glasses. And one eye was turned. And she came to see me, and we were doing some vision therapy, eye exercises, et cetera. And then one day we did a process work around the turned eye. And we did it with her daughter. And she would tell this story if we ever want to have her. And I had her cover one eye, and first question I ask three questions to people. First question is, I have them stand in front of a mirror, and the first question I ask is the image looking at you, or are you looking at the image? How does it feel? And what if in one eye it feels like the image is looking at you, but in the other eye it feels like you're looking at the image? We're just talking about inquiry here. Interesting, right?
Yeah.
In one eye, you're in your body. In the other eye, you might be outside your body. I'm just throwing out questions, right? Next question. How old does that eye feel? How old does that eye feel? In the eye that turned in, this woman said, this eye feels 200 years old. In the other eye, she said, it feels like a teenager. No wonder that eye, who's 200 years old, doesn't want to participate. He feels like an old person sitting in a rocking chair on our porch. Now, meanwhile, the two eyes are living in the same house in your face, but one's feeling 200 years old and the other's feeling 18. No wonder they don't want to participate together. So we have to increase the vibrancy, as you say, Glenn.
Thank you.
That feels old. Third question. This will take the vibrancy to another level. I say, look in the mirror and look at things behind you. And how far does the wall look behind you with one eye? And then shift to the other eye. How far does the wall look behind you with the other eye? And sometimes you can do this not in the mirror, but just in front of your face.
Yeah.
Let's say in one eye you're looking at something across the room, and to you, you feel it looks, let's say, 6 feet away. This is what you interpret it to be. And in the other eye, you interpret it to be 8 feet away. So in one eye, things look farther to you than the other eye. Now let's talk about physics. In physics, if there's a change in space, then there has to be a change in time. So one eye can be on one time-space continuum, and the other eye could be on a different time-space continuum. And when I find that, I'll find distortions in the body because, and there'll be more tension in the neck area on one side than the other, or the body, very interesting, the pulses in Chinese medicine might feel different on one side than the other. So again, I keep looking at patterns and looking what's behind the eye. So with that person, we were looking at the fact that one eye didn't want to participate. When I did a process of going back to what I talked about with her daughter, I put a patch on one eye, and I made the eye that didn't want to participate with her daughter, and we did this emotional process. And then I don't want to get into the details because it's not for me to share that, but after that session, this woman saw perfectly clear for 20 minutes. She goes, wow. Oh, my God, I'm seeing that clearly. I can read this. Mm-hmm. I said, is that possible? I guess it's possible you're doing it. You know, it didn't last because it wasn't integrated yet.
Yeah.
The fact that we treated the person behind the eye and the emotional being behind that is what we got in touch with. So that's just one example.
You know, Mark, you said something. I've read a lot, and I've been around a lot of people that have had spontaneous healings. Talk about integration. So you said she has this seeing, this awakening, this healing. Brugger, I said, once he used to do these 10-day trainings, and people would have tremendous healings in the desert. They could talk to cactuses. They really would have a major awakening. And a lot of times, he said, when they got to town, their outer mind would kick back on, and they would just lose it. Their illnesses would return. Talk about integration and how that relates to this. In this lady's case, it's such a beautiful moment that she had. What did you notice about integration and bringing that, in her case, bringing that into her life, or what you share with people about? I love the moment of awakening that she sees clearly. I guess we need to go to this little pause here. Here we are. Your life's precious. Enjoy it. Vibrant seeing. Thanks for seeing and exploring with us today here on Vibrant Living Network. Billy Lake, Lisa LaRose, and Dr. Mark Grossman. Stay with us.
Feed your soul with waves of consciousness on Om Times Radio.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose. To link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
Hi, this is New Age Grammy winner Paul Avgerinos. Thanks for listening to Om Times Radio, and please support my peaceful healing music with a purchase at iTunes, Amazon, or wherever you shop for fine music. Just put my name into the search engine, Paul Avgerinos, A, V like Victor, G like George, E-R-I-N-O-S. You can also visit me at roundskymusic.com. Thanks for listening, and I'm wishing you the brightest of blessings.
Melissa from Michigan. I work an extra part-time job serving lunch at my child's school, but I still can't afford to put food on our table.
Daniel from California. Choosing whether to pay the rent or pay to fix the car to get to work doesn't leave us with much at all. Now we can't even pay for meals.
Hunger is a story we can end. End it at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
We have visualizations of the love that you could relate. Wow. Wow is a modern term. Welcome to the Vibrant Living Network. I'm Glenn Brooks. the wonder of asking new questions and how illness can really open up a new doorway for discovery of well-being and aliveness, right? So we live in this ongoing state that we consider us, and illness knocks on the door to awaken us. What happens when we welcome it? It's not easy. And what if, in fact, our symptoms are healing in progress? So our conversations with our practitioners and ourselves is that these stages could allow us to grow younger. Dr. Ashley Montague wrote a book on growing young, anthropologist at Princeton. And one of the things he said that was very different than Tina Turner was that real love heals broken bones. That changed my whole perspective on love for the next 30 years. Here we are talking about vibrant vision with Dr. Mark Grossman. And I'm just so moved about this idea of integrating and not returning to normal. Let's explore that for a moment. So someone comes to you, they're concerned because they have a problem, a perception of disturbance in their eye system, in their body system, in their experience of love, the experience to be touched. And they come to you with a problem. What do you find in the conversation, Mark, opens the safety and the willingness to explore something different than what they came to you? Like, because I asked her, I said, how many people come to you and they're aware of a soul, a spiritual dilemma? Share with us a little bit of what creates an opening or what you've noticed opens people to this other level of life, pulsation, and seeing that they didn't even come, you know, they didn't come there. They came because they had a concern about glaucoma or something. Share with us a little bit about the dialogue, you know, what it's like for you, perhaps, what it's like to sit and, you know, to be you in the room with someone, your breath, your questions, what's that like?
Well, you know, the first step in going to a deeper place with a client, and usually doesn't happen on the first visit, sometimes it does, is, you know, a level of safety has to exist between you and the client, where the person feels even consciously or unconsciously safe enough to be able to share with you, because these are the things that usually, especially in vision, that they don't even know that they don't even know that they're not seeing. So that are you know, deeply repressed, and they've developed ways of compensating for it through their visual system by shutting down, you know their vision. I mean, chiropractors will see it in their body. I'll see it in their eyes. It's like, why did all of a sudden you get a cataract at 46 years old instead of 80 years old? What was going on in your life that you got a cataract in your late 40s or early 50s as opposed to later in life? It's supposed to be an age-related thing, you know, or macular degeneration. So, you know, we use the actual conditions as vehicles to try to figure out what's going on. So the first step is that we have to be able to talk the same language. So, you know, I have to, you know, I'm not trying to get their trust. I'm just saying, are they really being seen? Can they be seen by me? Do they feel that I'm seeing them and that I'm someone who is on the same path and they can use me as a guide to helping their healing? Once that's established, then I do very subtle probes with them when I see them. Like, well, you know, are you ready to go? Are you ready to go to this level? Are you ready to go to this level? What level do you feel comfortable working on? And if you're going to go to this level, do you have adjunct psychotherapy that you might need if we uncover things that are things you didn't really want to deal with? I am not a psychotherapist. So I might just, you know, if you're in, a lot of times I will have talks with the patient's psychotherapist about what's going on that I find in their visual system so they can work on it in therapy. Like if somebody has an issue with just one eye, like I said before, is it more of a male father issue or a female mother issue? And I'll tell the psychotherapist to maybe do therapy with a patch on. You know, when they're talking to that person, be able to access that emotional body. So, you know, the spontaneous healings kind of things happen when we
we put with all the circumstances and the environment and the energy ready to go, but then they go into their regular life and their compensations occur. Like so many patients say, oh, I went to a meditation retreat and a yoga retreat and I saw so good. Like I give classes at a Kripalu Yoga Center and I might be giving one at Yogaville in Virginia. And I'm sure in those classes and the ones that I've been giving, people say, wow, I can't believe how good I'm seeing. But then they'll go home and they'll go back to the computer, they'll go back to their stresses in life, and then it'll come back down. But now my job is to give them those tools so that they can access the parts of themselves that don't have to react to the stress, but rather respond to the stress so that they can integrate it, so that they can have full seeing on an everyday basis. So that's sort of like the framework that I have experienced for people to, you know, to improve their visual system.
Wow. I want to give out your website.
Go ahead, Liz.
Glenn. Yeah, so it's
I don't know how long your thing is, but I have to leave by 2.
Yeah, no, yeah, just so it's naturaleyecare.com, and it's really an amazing resource, and I'm excited to get a hold of your book because I know it's even more comprehensive. Go ahead, Glenn.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Lisa. You know,
let me just one thing, Lisa. Also,
yes.
The naturaleyecare.com is one website. I also have a website that's more educational called docgrossman2020.com, and that has lots of the articles that I've written. They're easier to find, and also a lot of the videos, too. All the things are on both websites, but drgrossman.com, it's a little bit more accessible for the articles.
Yeah, some wonderful articles. I've been pouring through them. So go ahead, Glenn.
Thank you. So my vision, I want Hillary and Lisa to share their vision. So I've been really in my heart and soul pondering the year-long course, and part of what I visualized for Vibrant Seeing, and we've got a lot of starting dates that you could look at Mark's website and also Vibrant Living Network. I've been pondering the years really about having a new relationship with what you're seeing, what you allow yourself to see, how you allow yourself to touch, your relationship to awareness, is it closed, is it open? Since Hillary's sitting here, how you embody your seeing, how does your seeing speak to you? How does it speak to others around you? Your breathing, and to ask questions in a community of people that's safe and open and relational enough to be able to have this inquiry, because often what we do is we fix things, right? We fix them, and then we go back to life. We go into the normal. So this is a year, and I have this year model, whether it's the Vibrant House where people take a year to write their book or develop talks, of this practice of awareness that deepens in your life. It's kind of unreasonable to actually think what 3 days could change your life, although I like to build in 2 or 3 days we could see each other and get together as we're building this energy of vibrant seeing together. So I have an idea, Lisa. Why don't you go and then Hillary go, and let's let Mark share his vision of the vibrant seeing year-long, non-intensive. It's going to be intense, but it's going to be wondrous, long, open, revealing. So again, Lisa, what's your vision for the year with on vibrant seeing with Dr. Mark and all the wonderful people who are going to come into this course?
That I just have a wow. You know, there's so much that Dr. Mark has to offer, and you know, everything from exploring the correlation between the liver and the eyes, and all of the different energetic practices that he's delved into in the yoga. So I just see it sort of like that book that attracted you on that table about the web and the connection, and I just see it branching into so many different directions. The possibilities are really endless. So thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. Thank Wonderful. You. Lee Hillary, what's your vision in this course? Oh, right.
Well, I feel really inspired and excited, and hearing everything that you have to share, Mark, and
for me as a embodiment practitioner and guide for people, I love to see people coming alive in their bodies. And so I'm looking forward to being with people on a weekend and doing exercises with them about seeing and being in relationship with sight and how that affects our experience in our bodies through movement and in these relational exercises and learning from Mark in person, in body as well. And I can already feel that awakening a lot within me. So, thank you.
No, you're really welcome. You know, I became a matchmaker unexpectedly. I had a series of 14 nights where I saw life differently. It was 3 and 4 in the morning. And I felt my relationship to my cells and my breath change, and it's opened my life in a whole new direction. And part of it, it's a lot of unknown stuff. So I think part of the course, I'm also inspired to be in the unknown and be free from the known together. What's that like? Mark, what comes to you for this year long vibrant seeing course? What moves you in this moment about it?
Okay. So this is my premise, and then we would see where we would go with it. But I believe that all dis-ease in the body, mind, and spirit has to do with relationship to the universe, to the stars, to the sky, to the people in our lives, to ourselves. And when you have a imbalance in relationship, that's where you get stuck, stagnant energy. So, and I mean, your relationship, you know, from anywhere from astrology to astrocartography, where you live, everything. So I am looking at this series as a way of a tool to deal with people's relationships to the world, to themselves, and using vision, and there's different vision conditions that they might have, anywhere from nearsightedness to farsightedness, astigmatism to glaucoma, cataracts, being able to use what they have as a tool to help them empower themselves in all their relationships. So, I mean, this is very exciting to me. I'm all jazzed up about it.
great, wonderful.
This is
wow, Mark, it's
the crux of vision.
Well, I deeply thank you. I really appreciate you so much, Mark. And Hillary and Lisa, I really appreciate this pocket, this relational space we've had together very much. And so, thank you, Lisa. Thank you, Hillary. Mark. Well, I'll just say your life's precious and joy, because I like saying that. It's one of my, still seems to continue to be precious, independent of in between turbulences and disturbances. So you're going to be able to read about, we're going to have this posted on Vibrant Living Network and Mark's website, and we want your questions, and we want you to write a vision. What moves you about this course this year with Mark and Hillary and Lisa and myself? And I love Mark, of course, I love your overview of relationalness, and I agree with you that separation and the perception of separation is an illness. Right? As long as you have this separation, we don't really feel in harmony and union with life. And that's why I wrote that book, and I'm Divorce the Patterns on Each Other. Could we allow this connection in our marriage or in our teams to go beyond our separate realities so we could experience more of this union in life? And thank you, Mark, deeply.
Well, thank you so
thank
much.
You,
yeah, just let me know what the next step is, okay?
The next step is I have the bravery to come to your office and do the eye exam. Now, the next step is I will be in touch and write you the vision plan. Thank you, Lisa, for laughing. That was a humorous comment, yes. I'll be in touch, Mark. And again, loved our lunch hour here. Thank you. And thank you all for listening. Thank you for being part of Vibrant Living. Thanks for all the wonderful comments. And it makes my heart dance that this format is touching you at a deeper level. Thanks, Chris. I want to thank Chris.
who's been so supportive and wonderful at Om Times Radio, and I deeply appreciate our proprietary, you know, our launching the Vibrant Living Network, and it's been wonderful working with Om Times Radio, launching the Vibrant Living Network. So thank you, Chris. Thank you, everybody at Om Times. And I allow your seeing to come through your being and acknowledge the unusual things to other people. Take that moment and take a risk to say something that's daringly different. Enjoy the rest of your week. I'll be with you next week. Thank you, Hillary. Thank you, Lisa. Thanks, Mark. Chris.
Nice to meet you all. Thank you.
Yeah, likewise. Bye.